Morning. We're continuing on with the new Holy Spirit, and I've been given the pleasure of the New Testament's advent of the Holy Spirit. We've been just doing the breaking of the bread and the wine. To the world, they just see two thieves, one on each side of Jesus. They see the Roman soldiers gambling for his claws. They see the mocking, and they mock themselves. They see the blood and look away in disgust. Yet the Holy Spirit has empowered us to see the cross for what it is. It's the love of God. He died on that cross so that we may have our sins washed clean. He's taken all away our mocking, because we were once mockers, weren't we? And he's taken away that. And the Holy Spirit has convicted us, come into our lives to show us the glory of God. And this series that we're doing about the Holy Spirit shows how empowering, how loving that God is to send us such a wonderful person, because he is a person, not an it. It's not a tingly feeling in your arms, oh, I've got goosebumps, I must have the Holy Spirit. It's not feeling good. We can go to sports events and feel good when we've seen something. We can have a good meal and feel good afterwards. But it's not everlasting, is it? The Holy Spirit in us is everlasting. It's powerful and it bears fruit. Watching a football game does not bear fruit. What eating a good meal might make you go full that day, but it doesn't bear fruit, does it? We need Holy Spirit power in us, because we need to be fruit-producing people. And it's the Holy Spirit has empowered me today to be able to speak. I might mumble, but it's the Holy Spirit who's given me the words. So today, this morning, I will pray that the Holy Spirit is opening your inner eyes, your inner ears, to hear the word of God, and to be renewed, refreshed, and maybe even hear something that you've never heard before, or something new, and that's, you know, that's, wow, yeah. Okay. That's what I've been praying for that anyway. So I'm reading from John 20, verses 19 to 23. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. This was the new creation. And it was a kind of when man was first created in the garden. The Lord stooped down, put his lips against the lips of the clay, and breathed into Adam the breath of life. Likewise, in the first act of the new creation, the resurrected Christ breathed into the disciples. Not just life, but resurrecting life. The difference between Adam's breath of life and the breath the disciples received was this was the life that had triumphed over death. This was the eternal life, indestructible. Life that neither sin, death, Satan, or anything else could ever conquer or overcome. He breathed into them a victorious life in his own life. Bear in mind that the word translated spirit, which is pneuma in Greek, also means breath or wind. So we might translate it like this, that they received holy breath. He breathed into them holy breath, divine resurrection life, and they were created anew. This was the moment new creation took place for the first time. The new church was born. As the Holy Spirit was working on the cross, a Roman soldier and officers were watching, and they saw what had happened. And in Matthew 27, verse 54, it says, we saw the wonders, what was happening, the miracles, what was happening, and that they believed in God. The Roman officer saw what had happened on that day, and he believed that this was the Son of God. Even though he had proclaimed on top of the cross that he was King of the Jews, he was in Greek, he was in Aramaic, he was in Hebrew, they still proclaimed him as the Son of God. They mocked him for being the King of the Jews. To them, he was just a Jewish man, ripped apart and crucified, death. They pierced him with the side, and the blood and the water had come out. And yet they saw God? You know, why would you see God in that? You know, yet the Holy Spirit convicted him and showed him that this was the Son of God. Yeah. In Luke, it tells us that the officer worshipped God after that. How we know of a gambler who would wear a camel coat, smoke big cigars, drive a gold Mercedes, would lord it over everybody. People would walk across the street because they knew how tough he was. He would study the form of the horses. He'd see what the track was like, whether it was good to firm, or whatever. And he studied everything. And he was going to the bookies with the lot of money and hand over the money, and, big bets. Why would that man then turn around and think to himself, oh, the Holy Spirit convict him that he has to read the Word of God? And he stayed up at night with his girlfriend at the time. And rather than spend time with his girlfriend, he was spending time reading the Word of God. His life had suddenly changed. There was no reason, was there? There was no telling of what was to come. He just got this conviction in his heart to read the Word of God. And that Word of God has changed his life, hasn't it? Because it's the Word of God is Spirit written, yeah? And the Holy Spirit was in him, and he could see Jesus from Genesis all the way through to Revelations. We've heard that testimony last week, haven't we? The Holy Spirit convicts us as well. When you're in a deep depression, in such darkness that all you think that death is the only way out, that death is the answer. Yet Jesus come into my life like that, and how I was worthless, and my life didn't seem any point. Yet Jesus, the Holy Spirit convicted me into seeing what my life was worth. I am worth something. I am, I can have a life. Because we all want to be part of a family, don't we? We all want to be part of something, but whatever group it is. And the Holy Spirit convicts us to be part of a family, the church family, yeah? Children of God that we've become. And he convicts us in that. How many people are robbers, people who are doing the wrong are suddenly, their lives have changed, haven't they? Because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts them. John 16, verse 80 says, he will convict the world of his sins and of God's righteousness of coming judgment. He gives us new life. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God, that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you? Different churches believe that the day of Pentecost is seen as the start of the church. But it's been continually said that the Pentecostal was only to launch the church, and therefore we do not need, nor should we expect, a Pentecostal experience today. But if you look at a ship that's all built and ready to go, it still needs launching to go into service. When Jesus was conceived in Mary by the Holy Spirit, that wasn't the beginning of Jesus. You see, we sometimes have problems when they say they spoke in tongues and they understood they spoke in their own language. And that can't happen today. Or we may, because of learning, because we can't speak German or Swahili, But we do speak in their language. By our testimonies, we speak in their language. I mean, there's different languages, isn't there? There's the sign language, there's body language, but there's also the word, the language coming out. But an alcoholic can speak to another alcoholic, that's been saved, and can speak to that alcoholic. And they speak in in their terms, don't they? The drug addict, with all the paraphernalia that comes with drug addicts, you can speak that if you're a born-again Christian that was a drug addict. And you can speak out. So you're speaking their language all the time. It's by your testimony that you're speaking out all the time. We've all come to know Jesus in different ways. We're not all the same, are we? We're not all salesmen that, just seen the Lord and read the Word. We've all come in different ways, haven't we? Some of us have been going to church for years and years, and then suddenly they've been convicted by the Holy Spirit and they see the Word of God as they're reading. They weren't doing it where before they were doing it out of duty. Or we've got to do it. My mum told me I've got to do it. Now it's become a living thing in their lives. We've seen children coming through, but it's the Holy Spirit that convicts the children as well and to bring them through. We'll be dragged to church, but one day they'll say, oh, I want to go, mum. They'll be dragging you instead. There's things that in our lives that have changed us, you know, and that by how we can then portray to speak out to those who are lost, you know, you speak in their language, it saves them, doesn't it? They see you as differently. Just pretend that you're a jar of oil. Yeah? You've got a nice glass, green glass jar of oil with a nice top on it, and it's got cuttings out of olives. You know, your nice olive oil, nice handles and everything, it looks beautiful. But when you open up and then you pour it out, it's just a glass that's green. There's nothing inside it. It's empty. It's like for many Christians, this world, this nation proclaims to be a Christian nation. Many people, when they put on the farms, what religion? Christian. But they're not. They don't participate in Christianity, do they? They don't center Jesus in their lives. But it's through the Holy Spirit, the outpouring that's in you, that pours out. It's the Holy Spirit that's pouring out, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit that's speaking through you to the lost. It's the Holy Spirit that's in us. And without the Holy Spirit, we're just the empty, nice, shiny bottle, and which can be chipped and broken. But then we are broken jars, aren't we? We are crackpots. You know, but we're cracked and we're filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that shines through the cracks, isn't it? We've all, like when, with Jesus, when he showed Thomas his hands and his that side, you know, his feet and all the scars on him. We have still got scars of what the world has done, but the Holy Spirit, the God, Jesus, has made us whole again, hasn't he? But people can still see you from your past. They still see what you used to be, the cracks in your life, but have been changed now by the Holy Spirit, who's filling you out. And rather than being a new part that's no cracks in it at all, it won't show the light, will it? It just, the light will be inside. Wouldn't be any good. So that's why we still have the scars. We still have the memories. We still have the thoughts of what went on in our past, you know, when we were sinners. We can show then the world that God can change your life, that Jesus is the answer, that we should focus ourselves on Jesus. No matter how deep or how depressed you are, or how dark down you are, or how far away in sin you are, or how far, whatever it is, even if you're in prison, if you're on death's door, Jesus is always there, and he's there to reach out to you, isn't he? Like the thief on the cross, he recognized who Jesus really was. One didn't, one mocked him. The other one, on the other side, knew who Jesus was. And yet, you know, why would he? It doesn't make sense, does it? That's how we can't sometimes explain to our friends, our family, why we've seen Jesus as our Saviour. Because they can't see it yet, because the Holy Spirit has not shown them. The Holy Spirit has still kept it away from them. But it's by you living your lives that you're going to show that what the Holy Spirit can do in your lives. And their family will soon say, you know, you're different. We are different. We're children of God now. And people can see that and they want to reach out for that. That's how you can reach out to the lost, isn't it? That's how the Holy Spirit works in you. It's because we're making Jesus the centre of our lives. We're making what to the world looks disgusting in the cross, we make as God's love, you know, in the glory of God. See, Jesus was 30 years old. He'd done no preaching. He had performed no miracles except the fact that he was morally perfect. He lived a normal life. But if you go into Luke 3, verses 21 to 22. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly loved son and you bring me great joy." After this point on, Jesus is spoken of as being led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. It says in Luke 4, verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favour has come." Why was Jesus filled with the Holy Spirit? It was in terms of power. It was to equip him with supernatural power for his great work. Hebrews 9, verse 14. "Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds, so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, how much more do we? John 16:7 says, "But in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the Advocate won't come. If I go away, then I will send him to you." This is how significant the coming of the Holy Spirit is. He's here to empower us. He's here to give us the words to speak. He's here to help us perform miracles, isn't he? He's going to use us to perform miracles and wonders. You never wonder why he said wonders. It's because when you say, "I wonder how Jesus did that. I wonder how he did that. I wonder how he did that." That's the signs and wonders. The Spirit is called holy. In 1 Peter 1:16 he says, "Be holy, for I am holy, and Jesus is living in you. This is your holy temple." Yeah? So we have to watch what we will pour into our holy temple. We can only, you know, if we're pouring the Word of God is going to come out, isn't it? If we put rubbish in, rubbish is going to come out. We are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, but we can grow only by the help of the Holy Spirit. The moment we see Christ as our Saviour, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and our body and our hearts. As he says, "Love God with all your heart, soul and mind." Before it was love your God with all your heart, but there was no mind into it. God has given us something to empower us in our thoughts and in our thinking of what we want to do. The Christian life is not a tingling feeling, is it? It's a powerful force that we have in us, you know, that can heal the sick, that can bring the lost to the and be found. The like in the sheep in the fold, the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. It's not like one man and his dog. It's in the East, they spoke to the sheep, and the sheep knew the voices. They knew them by name. That's how much they love the sheep. That's how much God loves us. That even then, when they're lost, and the shepherd calls, you know, the lost back in, they're hearing God's voice. When we're speaking our testimonies, when we're speaking out the word of God, the Holy Spirit is empowering us to speak on behalf of Jesus. It's Jesus' voice that's coming out of us because of the Holy Spirit. So there's not a person who can follow Christ without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need that empowering, that the gift of the Holy Spirit in us. How else would we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit if we don't believe in the Holy Spirit? A church that doesn't have the Holy Spirit in it, who's not led by the Holy Spirit, is a dead church. A person who's not led by the Holy Spirit, who's not living in the living Spirit, is not living in him, is a dead person. We need that Holy Spirit in us to charge us up, to give us, like I keep saying, the words to speak. You know, the empowering. Because before you came to Christ, what did we talk about? We were like the soaps, the Emmerdale, or whatever it was. What we taught was rubbish, wasn't it? And it came out as rubbish. It wasn't lifting, was it? It was me, or, you know, what can I get out of it? What can I get? But now, because of the Holy Spirit and Jesus living in you, it's what you can give to them. You know, you're giving out, aren't you, rather than taking away. See, the Holy Spirit reveals the God whom the Bible reveals and the salvation that God offers. How many times before we had the Holy Spirit that we didn't know God? We knew about Christmas. We knew about Easter. But there were holidays. That was it. It was, you know, buying presents, it costing, you know, how much money you're going to have to spend this Christmas and things like that. But now it's become, the meaning has come into you, hasn't it? It means something now. The birth of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection. You know, we believe now that Jesus died on that cross for us, that he rose again on the third day. And, he has given us a new life. And we have that new life in Christ. Always before we was lost, we never, you know, I'm sure that the Holy Spirit has been trying to convict us, trying to show us Jesus all through our lives when we were born. But we were deaf, we were hard-hearted, we were stubborn, whatever it was, we'd refused it. And then one day, just something powerful, you know, it must have been giving you a kick up the backside to say, "Listen to me," you know, and you've heard that voice. And then you had a choice then. Do I accept that voice? Do I believe in that voice? Or do I just walk away and just go my own way again? You just thank God that you've accepted the Holy Spirit into your life. You've accepted Jesus into your lives. You know, and he's given us, like I said, new life. and a life worth living, isn't it? And it's eternal life. It's not just till all ages. It's eternal life, isn't it? It's forever. And God loves you. See, the love of God is the answer to all our whys. The Father loves you. John 16:27 says, "For the Father himself loves you dearly, because you love me and believe that I am from God." We have become very different people to our family, to our friends. We've changed. We're not the old self, we're the new self. We're the believers of Christ. We believe that, like I say, we believe in Jesus Christ. We make him our centre. We focus on Jesus. We don't focus on how much money we can make. We just want to focus on Jesus Christ. And it's only through, like I say, the Holy Spirit is the one who's always there with us. He's the one who always wants us. He grieves for us, doesn't he? In the coming weeks, it shows how he grieves for us, how he intercedes for us, he prays for us, how he speaks to God. You know, he translates that with tongues, and he translates, he knows your prayers, and he speaks to God on your behalf. He speaks to you all the time. He's there, he's your comforter. When you're in need, he's there to comfort you. He's everything, isn't he? The Holy Spirit. We're seeing Jesus, how he died on that cross. It's the beginning, isn't it? He died on that cross so that we can be in the Holy of Holies. We can meet God face to face now through the Holy Spirit. Whereas once it was only the high priest that could go into the Holies of Holies. It was only the privilege that could go and see God face to face. Now we have that privilege now. We have that gift to see God face to face. And he regards you as a family. He regards you as children. You know, we can call him Father, Abba. You know, he just loves you so much that we needed that helper. The first time when the disciples were cowering in the upper room, they were afraid of what the Jewish leaders were going to do to them, and they were afraid. And yet later on, when Jesus had given them the Holy Spirit, and they were waiting, you know, there was 120 of them while waiting again in the upper room. They were all praying in one accord. They were all praying in unity. Now, I can ask Pastor Rob this, but trying to get a church to be in one, you know, everybody has their own ideas of how a church should be run. Even different leaders have different ways of doing things. So it seems impossible for 120 people all to be one accord, all praying for the same thing, all praying at the same time in one accord. That's because the Holy Spirit was convicting them, and you know, it was showing them that we need to be of one accord. Like it says on the banner here, you know, we sing with one voice. You know, we need to be one voice, don't we? I think it was last week, what Pastor Rob was saying about if we come out squabbling, we go, you know, with each other, what's the world going to see? The squabbling, you know, what's the difference? You know, any group squabble, it doesn't make any difference. But if we're going out in one unity, because we've centered Jesus in our lives, and we're going out there happy, you know, we are going to have sad times. We are going to have hard times where we're thinking, oh, you know, why God, why? But if we just give it to God, the Holy Spirit, and then, you know, it brings the answers to you, doesn't he? And he sets us free, doesn't he? And then that way, when we go out, people can see, you know, like in this virus, you know, how we coped to how the world coped. It's different, isn't it? We didn't think, oh, it's doomsday. It's what God's probably brought this about, because maybe we were relying too much on a building as a church. As a person, as two people, as a church. You know, we are the church, aren't we? Not this building. Maybe we're relying too much, that we're getting too worked up about this church and Bryn Church. You know, but God's separated us from the buildings, but we still came together, didn't we? All right, we were lucky we got Facebook this time. You know, in this day and age, I mean, if it had been 100 years ago, then we don't know what would have happened, you know, but it would have been lost. But God, it's perfect timing, because we've got the technology to still come together as one family, haven't we? We just need to be centered in Jesus Christ as a church, and as believers. Yeah? We need to be Holy Spirit-filled church. The oil pouring out to all those who are lost, to all those, we need the anointing of the oil, don't we? So, John 4, verse 4, it says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." We have a mighty God. We have power in us. Let's not deny that power. Let's not think, oh, it's for the old, you know, time's gone by. It's for now, today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That power still lives in us. The power that defeated the grave lives in us. So we need to stand boldly, filled with the Holy Spirit, to proclaim the word of God, to speak out, and to tell our neighbours about Jesus Christ. We need to speak to our family, our friends, live a Christ-filled life and show the world what Jesus can do. Rather than hiding behind locked doors, feeling sorry for ourselves, we have power, we are strengthened by the Holy Spirit, and it's through the Holy Spirit that we can give new life to people, not to the lost. And we need that new life in us all the time. You might be feeling now with a pounding in your heart. It might be the time to, you want to be refilled with the Holy Spirit and be prayed for. Don't wait for a Holy Spirit weekend just to get the Holy Spirit. Don't wait for when the time comes on this series when it's about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If your heart's pounding now, ask and to be prayed for and laid hands on. If you don't know Jesus and you've got that feeling in your heart that you want to know Jesus, ask and repent. You know, say the sinner's prayer. Did he? He's just all you're asking is God to come into your life. We can all do it. I did it. You know, like saying, for the weak, God is for the weak. He's also for the strong as well. You might think we're strong, but in Christ, we are strong. You know, not in the world's strength, we're in God's strength.